Quarter to eight, spot on. You are listening to Sabah al-Muslim Drive Time on Radio Islam International. In the world of espionage, truth is the first victim and nothing is as it seems. For the first time now, South Africa's most notorious apartheid spy, Olivia Forsyth, lays bare the story of her remarkable life. She was a young woman in search of adventure when she joined the security police. But Craig Williamson, her unit head, had other ideas, and he ended up training her to spy on students before being dispatched to Rhodes University, which at the time was a supposed hotbed of anti-apartheid radicalism. It wasn't long before Olivia had infiltrated various student organizations, feeding vital information back to her handler. She came to hold prominent positions on campus, and as a reward was promoted to lieutenant. Having reached the end of her studies, she set her sights on a much more ambitious and dangerous target, the ANC in exile. But what should have been her greatest triumph as a spy turned into disaster when the ANC threw her into Quatro, the notorious internment camp in Angola. To tell us more about her life story and the book that has been released, we are joined this morning on the line by the author herself, Olivia Forsyth. Olivia, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, and Suleiman, and thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. Why did you decide to write the book? And secondly, why now, after all these years?
Suleiman, that's a very good question. You know, I've intended to write the book for a long time. I always wanted to set the story straight because there were so many versions of it in the press and all over. And the people that I'd been close to at Rhodes did not know the whole story. So it was very important for me to set the record straight. And I went and saw Ronnie Castrels in Cape Town before I left South Africa, because I haven't been living here for some years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to see him. I had to, you know, tell him what had happened after the last time I'd seen him. And I had to ask his blessing to put the story in writing. And he said to me, I think you should write it. I think you'll write a good story. It's just taken all this time because for the last 15 years I've been teaching high school English and raising my daughters.
Now, talking about Ronnie Castles, I see that he's being reported in the media as saying that he refused to write the foreword, and he still does not believe that you were genuine when you acted as a double agent for the ANC.
Well, Suleiman, he didn't exactly refuse to write it. He offered and then changed his mind. But, you know, Ronnie Castles, I have the hugest respect for. You know, he's one of my heroes, and he was wonderful to me when I defected to the ANC. So I have nothing but the highest of praise for him. He was the one who, if you like, was the first really, really important ANC member that I was introduced to in the leadership in Zambia. And, you know, he was right to be suspicious. You know, someone as high as he, up as he was in ANC intelligence, you know, he, how would you feel if someone came and told you, look, I hadn't told him I'd done that in Zimbabwe, but said, you know, I'm a lieutenant in the security branch and I want to work for you. You know, anybody being a double agent in that position would be regarded with suspicion.
Hmm.
It was logical, and he would have been, you know, unusual if he hadn't been suspicious. But he was prepared to give me a chance to go back into the ranks of the security branch and work for the ANC from there, because if you think about it, the ANC had nothing to lose sending me back. You know, they had the possibility to gain a lot of information, and it wasn't his fault that it all went wrong.
Hmm. What was it like in terms of your mindset, in terms of your fears at the time when you were an agent for the apartheid regime firstly, and at the time when you were, so to speak, a double agent? Were you constantly in fear of your life? Did you constantly feel hollow and empty inside, that you were betraying people that perhaps you had grown to like and perhaps liked you?
Well, you've got two good questions there, Suleiman. The one is if I feared for my life, and the other, how did I feel inside? You know, I think youth makes you feel invincible.
Mm.
And you know, there were times when obviously I was in danger. Looking back now, I can see that. I'll answer the question about how I felt inside first, if that's okay with
yes,
you.
Yes, go ahead.
When I joined the security branch, as you said earlier in your introduction, I just had visions of traveling overseas. I was such an ignoramus. I knew nothing about the real politics of South Africa. And I just had visions of traveling and, you know, some vague notions of exciting spy adventures. When I was sent to Rhodes, I was quite disconcerted. I hadn't expected to be sent inside the country. But they explained to me that I needed to build up my credentials as a left-wing activist before I could go outside and be recruited, possibly by the ANC or SACP. So it was only when I got to Rhodes and when I was in the student movement that I thought, oh my goodness, this is wrong. I'm on the wrong side. And you know, it is the two things when you're an agent. The one is, on the surface, you carry on and you do your job and you behave like a normal person, but it doesn't mean you don't have a conscience. And inside, I was conflicted right from the start. I knew I had to make a decision to do the right thing at some point. And for me, that point came when I was already a lieutenant, but I thought that the ANC would appreciate a high level defector who could really supply them with some valuable intelligence.
Olivia, from all the people that you spied on, who faced the worst consequences as a direct result of you spying on them?
That's a good question. There were some people who were with me at Rhodes who were detained after I left. At one point we were detained at the same time, and then I left Rhodes in September 1985, and there was a state of emergency, and several people were detained. Some of them were my close friends, like, you know, Sealand, and, you know, there's no doubt that the police might have used some of the information that I provided in the course of their detention. Others who were detained might have been detained anyway. You know, bear in mind, I was one source, but the police had a huge number of agents. It was quite frightening.
Did anybody die as a result of the information that you gave over to Craig Williamson, your handler, about them?
Well, Craig Williamson was my recruiter, but not my handler.
Okay.
So I had little to do with Craig after I was sent to Rhodes. But no, I can honestly say, Suleiman, no, nobody died, nobody disappeared, and nobody was tortured as a result of the information that I gave.
What would you say is the biggest inaccuracy about your story that you wish to address in this book? Is it about whether you were genuine when you defected to the ANC? Because apartheid authorities afterwards tried to make it look like your defection was actually a guise for you to infiltrate the ANC.
They did, Suleiman, because what happened was when I got back to South Africa, you know, all I wanted to do was, you know, I had burned my bridges with the ANC by going to the embassy in Luanda, because I thought they were never going to send me on any missions, and I was sitting there uselessly. At that stage, I hadn't seen my family for 2 years. I really, really was longing to see them, and I thought, nobody trusts me anyway. You know, the police probably wouldn't either, because they would have, you know, had some information, intelligence by then. I wanted to be left alone. I wanted to leave and go and live a relatively normal life. But the police said that if I wanted to resign, I had to participate in this propaganda campaign, which, as it turned out, was pretty successful. But it was a propaganda campaign. It was a concoction, a thing called Operation Yurchenko, to make it look as if I'd been a successful spy for them. But actually, Suleiman, they had known, I found out quite recently, they had known very early on that I defected to the ANC. And they just let it run its course. They also knew that I was in Quatro, and they did nothing because they thought they should just leave me there.
What was it like for you after your story came out into the public domain? What kind of impact did it have on your personal life, on your family, on your ambitions to live a quiet life, albeit in a different country?
Well, you know, I first lived in South Africa, Simon, after all that. Mm-hmm. And after they let me resign from the police, that was in 1989. And so I did. You know, it was a bit painful for me, because I had really, with all my heart, wanted to make a serious contribution to the struggle. But that had become virtually impossible. So I set my sights on just being a good wife and mother, and, you know, going my way and almost watching the liberation of South Africa happen from the sidelines. And, you know, it was a wonderful moment for me to watch Mandela being released on TV. I watched it on television like a lot of people did. It was wonderful, an amazing experience to participate in our first democratic elections in 1994, which I did in Polokwane, which is my hometown. That was wonderful. I was swept up on this wave of optimism for the new South Africa, and I was so glad I was there to see it. It was other personal circumstances that led me to move to the UK in 2001. But, you know, South Africa is still a country of my heart.
Mm. Finally, Olivia, is this book that you have written also an attempt to seek some sort of redemption, to apologize to people that you have hurt along the way, to tell them, look, this is my story, I admit to it, this is what happened, and this is why I think it happened?
That's exactly why I wrote the book, Suleiman. More than anything, I wanted to set the record straight, but I wanted people to know how deeply sorry I am. You know, and I can't go to each and every one of those individuals. There isn't a time in life for that. You know, I'm very happily married. I have a husband who's very ill. I don't have time to seek out everyone. If I could, I would. But this is my way of saying I'm sorry for what happened.
Okay, Olivia. Thank you so much for taking out your time and talking to us this morning. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Suleiman.
Have a great day. Go well.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was Olivia Forsyth. She was an apartheid era spy. She then, according to her version, defected to the ANC, became a double agent. They then, at some point, lost trust in her, and they threw her into Quatro, the notorious internment camp in Angola. There was a lot of controversy when her story came to the fore in the media in South Africa, and she lived in South Africa for a while, and after that moved over to the UK, as you heard her explain. She's now written her story, and she wants to tell it from her perspective and correcting inaccuracies all these years later. It's entitled Olivia Forsyth, Agent 407, A South African Spy Breaks Her Silence. 3 minutes to 8.